You know, as we look at eternity out ahead, and then asking that question, is my Lord satisfied with me? It makes a big difference then to be able to see I'm going to spend eternity somewhere, and I want the Lord's approval to be on my life. And so I ask the question that David asked in Psalms, Lord, I want you to search me. Search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want you to help me to make heaven my home. Today, I would like for us to, if I could put a topic to this, I would like to look at the beauty of the Lord. And a song came to my mind. It says, I see the King in all his beauty, while resting there alone with God. And it says, alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Alone with God, and in him hidden. All those things come from finding a quiet place with God. And as we talk about the beauty of the Lord, I'd like to start with a verse over in 1 Peter 2 and the 6th verse. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And then it goes on, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So looking at that, there is not everyone that believes he is precious. Not everyone is able to see the beauty of the Lord. But I thought of another verse in Matthew 5 and 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And I think that can mean that when I leave this life and head out into eternity, that I'll be able to be with God, see God forever. But I also believe that it means the pure in heart will be able to see him around us in things every day. And I was thinking that not everyone, even in this verse here in 1 Peter, there are those that don't believe he is precious. Not everyone sees God or believes that way. And I was looking at a few of the verses in the first chapter of John. John 1. You know, when Jesus came, it looked like everyone would have received him gladly. But it says over in the 10th verse that it wasn't so. It says, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. You know, there were some that did not see a beauty in the Lord. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. There was a parable that Jesus gave. It was in the 19th chapter of Luke. It told about a nobleman went into a far country. It says he went there to receive a kingdom and to return. You know, that story was really telling about Jesus himself. He's coming back again. But it says, you know what? Not everyone saw a beauty in him. In that verse, those verses, it says, his citizens hated him, and they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then I thought, you know what? That's happening in 2020. There are people that are, and that hasn't been just happening, but for a long time, people have said, we will not have this. We don't see a beauty in what he has given. I was thinking about just in our generation, when the Ten Commandments, whether you were willing to obey them or not, you were willing to have them posted. But now we've come to a place where I don't want them posted. Why? It's a reminder to me that there's some requirements that God's putting in my life. So what do? We just get rid of them, and that should take care of it. So there's a lot of people that don't see a beauty in the Lord. I thought of another verse over in I'd like to look in Psalms in the 10th chapter. And this message is not about those people, but I'd like for us to just get a little picture of those. 10th chapter and the 4th verse of Psalms. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. That's the wicked. He doesn't see a beauty in the Lord. But you know, we go back to the verses at the beginning. To those who believe, no matter what the world around us does, how much they discard it, how much they say there is no God, to those that believe, he is still precious. And I am so thankful for that. I was thinking of a song that Fanny Crosby wrote. One of her verses was, "Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above." So it's not just about this one right here. There's another one out there ahead. And while I'm here, I would like to love you more and more. There's a verse in Psalms 34 and 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So that recommendation, I believe, is coming from somebody that has tasted and has been able to see. I give a recommendation for this. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. So where did my topic come from? I'd like for us to look over in Psalms 27. It came from a desire that a person had. 27 and 4 of Psalms. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." That's focused. I've got something, I've got a desire that I've got, and I'm going after it. Doesn't matter what the world does around me. Doesn't matter if they say there is no God. I've got a focus in my life, and I'm going after it. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Here it is. "I want to dwell, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I've got this purpose in my life. Here's what I want to have. By God's help, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To be able to do that, I think this next little part is real important. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Because you know what? I'm not going to dwell there all the days of my life if I don't see him as beautiful. And I'm not talking about a temporal beauty, but those things that he has shown us, those things that he has, the boundaries that he has put for us, that I see great value in that. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The beauty of the Lord is not just in spiritual things, I don't think. A couple weeks ago, we went out to Colorado and New Mexico in the mountains. And I tell you, it seemed like it was just like that must be closer to heaven there. It was quiet. You know, to be able to really enjoy the natural beauty of the Lord, it seemed like to me, I want it quiet. I don't want to have a lot of people around me. As we went out there, we would stay at a camping area, but there were so many vehicles parked in that area. And they loved it. Some of those people would go out there and stay for 3 months in that camping area. And it was so close that if you both brought both your pop-outs together, you'd almost touch. And that was not what I call getting out. But we found a place in Colorado where they said, you can camp anywhere in this national forest. We have places set aside. It's going to be dry camping. You're going to have your own water and what you're going to do for lighting and those kind of things. But we went out on that road and we found a place no one had ever parked there before, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it. But we pulled in there to where there's a big mountain right out in front of us. The closest that anyone was camped around us was about a half mile away. So it was quiet. It was peaceful. And I saw the beauty of the Lord. But you know, we don't have to go to Colorado to see it. But it's almost, I'm going to have some thought ability. You know, I can put my thoughts on a whole lot of things right now. I can worry about what's going to happen on November 3rd, and it can take up 100% of my thought process. To be able to see the natural beauty of the Lord, I need to be able to have some capacity reserved for that. Because as we see just the fall changing of the weather, are we able to see the beauty of the Lord in that? As I was coming to meeting this morning, I saw the trees that are starting to turn red. And just, does that cause my mind to turn toward the Lord? There were some verses that I believe wants to help us to be able to do it. You know, we can become so occupied that we can go through every day and we do not even notice the natural things that God gave us to enjoy. In Psalms 19 and 1, starting in the first verse, 1 through 6, here's what David is saying that the Lord has done. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know what? That covers all the different places that speak different languages that I can't understand what they're saying. God has made it to where they can look at nature and their minds be, and it speaks to them the same as it does to me. Their line is going out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit to the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And I just start thinking of the nature that he has given us to enjoy. There is another verse over in Psalms 8 because I need to be reminded. Psalms 8 and 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Do you have time that you stop and just go outside and quietly look up in the sky and be able to see, wow, God is really great. And now in 2020, technology has advanced to the point that where, you remember when they put the Hubble telescope and they sent back pictures? I thought, oh, that is amazing for us to be able to see. But now they can see much more than what they were able to then. And to them, that just starts having them add more billions of years on to it. What it does to me is says, wow, we're starting to see more of what a mighty God we serve. The beauty of the Lord. You know, and I can see this little pinpoint of a dot up in the sky, and they start telling me what the size of it is. You know, what's the purpose? He put it there for something. And I think one thing is for me to let my mind think about the beauty of the Lord, what he created for us. There's one person that did it. He said this, O Lord my God, the song How Great Thou Art, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then the chorus comes on. What if the chorus said, well, I'm kind of glad when it's all over, the storm and everything, and I can get back to my work. No, this one said, after I looked at all that, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. It's real important for me to see the beauty of the Lord in nature around me. Next verse was, when through the woods and the forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and I see the brook and I feel the gentle breeze, does anything stir up in me? Does there something come out of me to glorify God? He says, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. If we looked at just Genesis, the first chapter, and we read through the detail that God put in his creation of earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and has put them in an order that has continued on since that time. Get the Farmer's Almanac and it will tell you, it can tell you years out ahead, sunrise will be at this minute and sunset will be at that minute. Why? Because God has been so consistent. When he put it in motion, it'll stay in motion as long as he holds it there. So then out of that creation, there was something that I believe very special that he did. Genesis 1 and 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image," and created the human being. There is a verse I'd like for us to look at, because you know we're faced in these years and have been for a long time about abortion and those kind of things, to where after a while we can get kind of dull to it. But I'd like to look at how God looks at it all. In Psalms 139 and the 14th verse, "I will praise thee." You know, I think about Karen and Ben and their little baby. One more time that God gives a little child, and look at this, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You know, it's good for us to go back to the Word of God. And when the world is trying to figure out, when does life begin? And this one tells us he was recording it from the beginning as each member began to grow. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." There is a song number 43. As we look at nature and all that God has done, it says, "Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth, sea, and sky. He rules over all in majesty from his royal throne on high. He maketh winds and the raging winds and waves are calm. When he says to them, be still, the heavens praise him in a psalm, and the angels do his will. He maketh worlds by his command, weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in his hand, spans the lofty starlit sky." That's just the natural things that he does. What a mighty God we serve. But I'd like to look at another section now. "Behold the beauty of the Lord." We don't want it to just end with, okay, I see the trees, I see the flowers, and it makes me see the beauty of the Lord. But I'd like to see the beauty of the Lord in something else. The fourth verse of song number 43. "Our God to save from sin's control." What it says in Psalms 27, "I want to behold the beauty of the Lord." This is also the beauty of the Lord. "Our God to save from sin's control gave his son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise." And God created it. God allowed that for us. "How great thou art" has a couple verses of talking about, I saw nature and it did something for me. But then he also gave another verse. "And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin." In viewing the beauty of the Lord, do I ever stop sometime and just thank the Lord that he was willing to be the sacrifice for my sins? "Behold the beauty of the Lord." I want to always dwell in the house of the Lord. For me to do it, I'm going to have to take some time to behold the beauty of the Lord. And this is one of them. In a song that we have, "In that old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see." What can be beautiful about seeing someone die on a cross or thinking about it? It was because of that that I can have salvation today. It says, "For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary." So I don't want to say when I want to view the beauty of the Lord, I look at nature only. But no, I also thank him for salvation and what he was willing to do for me. And there is a verse, you know, we talk about beauty, the beauty of the Lord. But it says in over in Isaiah 50, the 53rd chapter, "Who hath believed our report?" 53:1. "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." So I think about that. God could have made Jesus however he wanted to. But this description says that just looking at him, there wouldn't be any beauty that we would desire him if we were looking at just the outside of it. But when we see what he gave for us, there is John 15, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." The beauty that I could see from him willingly giving his life. You remember when he was told, "Don't you know," I think it was maybe Pilate, told him, "Don't you know that I have the power to take your life or to give it?" And Jesus said, "You don't have any power except that God would give it to you. God would allow you to be able to have it." So what that tells me is Jesus willingly gave it of himself. There is another beauty that I want us to think about for a few minutes. The beauty of holiness. Do I see holiness as beautiful? I was looking at a verse that says that. I'd like for us to look at it in 2 Chronicles. There was a battle about to be fought. 2 Chronicles 20. 20 and 21 is where it happened. But you remember, and sometime it'd be good if you'll read this, 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat was told there's a great army coming against you. And he feared. You know, some of the Israelites before, when they feared, they would go and hire the Egyptians to come and fight for them when they were not serving God. But he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. They prayed and asked the Lord to help them out. And it says in their prayer, the 12th verse, look at this prayer that he's praying. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Just think what that scene must have been. We don't have a plan. We don't have a plan B. If this doesn't work, we're just committing ourselves to you, Lord. One thing they had done in this, if you read that first part of that prayer, they magnified who the Lord was. "We know that you have all power. You are well able." Look at that sixth verse. They said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" So they're just telling the Lord, "We understand what you're well able to do." So they prayed this prayer, and then they committed it to God. And they were told in the 17th verse, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. The Lord will be with you." So the next morning, when they started out, the 21st verse, he's telling them what to do. What would you do if you're going up against an innumerable company of a host against you? It says, "He consulted with the people, and he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness." Do you praise the beauty of holiness? Do I praise the beauty of holiness? The parameters that God has set in our life to separate us from the world. When he tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world," gives us the lust of the flesh, the lust, pride of life, flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And then these verses, we see that these folks praise the beauty of holiness. And it made me think for myself, do I take for granted what I have been taught? What I read from the scripture, is there beauty in holiness to me? You know, when I hear someone say, yes, those are the holiness people, is it because we have just set some rules? No, God is the one that said it. And it says, as they went out and saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know what? When they praised the beauty of holiness, results came from the Lord. He fought the battle for them. So I was thinking of the definition of holiness. When a Christian lives his life reserved with a desire to give glory to God. You remember the verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31? Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Lord, help me that when I'm praising the beauty of holiness in my life, that everything about me is done. I want glory to be brought to the Lord. Remember the verse that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what will happen from it? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's the end result for that. Isaiah 26 and 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation is what God's going to appoint to be our protection from the world around us. Walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And then this third verse we can just use for a side note. We'll need this verse over the next month or two. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So if over the next month and a half or 2 months, you find your heart becoming disturbed by what all is going on, let's go back to this verse and see, where am I letting my heart go, my thoughts go? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There's one more beauty that I want to talk to you about for a little bit. There's a song that says, and it's the last verse of How Great Thou Art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. The end of all things, I made it to the end and making heaven my home. Talk about seeing the beauty of the Lord. I saw it while I was here, and now I will get to view it forever. Remember in John, the 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled, first verse. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, you know, as I look at that, death was never intended to be punishment for a Christian. It was supposed to be the fulfillment of everything, that now I get to go be with the Lord. And I was looking at a verse in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. I know this probably is talking about just salvation itself, but I look at this and I believe I could also apply it to heaven. As 2 and 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Both in this life and in the life to come, we don't have but just a small amount of what it's going to really be like. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. Not just out in eternity, but really even for today, what we can have available to us. I would like to, in closing, give us a little picture of that. Because, you know, just like it's important for me to see the beauty of the Lord in nature around me, to see the beauty of the Lord in the sacrifice that he made, I need to, with by faith, behold the beauty of the Lord and what he has prepared for them that love him. There's a song that I'd like to sing. I'd like for you to sing it with me. What a day that will be. You know, it's so important for us to realize this is not all there is to life. There is eternal life that will continue on. I used to think, okay, we've got this life and it's going to stop and then the other will continue. But there is a verse that we sing of their light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. And there the Lord of life shall greet and worship at his blessed feet. You know, to the Christian, death is just a little transition of a continuance of the life that I have lived before him. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord in this life and anticipate the beauty of the Lord in the one to come. If you remember this song, sing it with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. So in this life, I want to behold the beauties of the Lord, and I want to anticipate seeing the beauties of the Lord out ahead. I desire your prayers.